You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Live from Chicken Town, this is the Flopcast, episode 619.
On Flopcast.net.
Yes, yes, hello, Cornflake.
Well, hey, Kevin.
This is going to be a quick show today, I think.
Right down to business.
We're tired.
You're not kidding.
It's Pi Day. We're recording this on Pi Day.
I haven't even had my pie yet because I'd be in total food coma mode.
Well, that's where I am. I've had my pie. Pre-show pie for me, post-show pie for you. We're celebrating Pi Day. Pi Day is long gone by the time anybody hears this. Let's get this going. Cornflake, what is National Whatever Day?
National Whatever Day!
I have an idea. Why don't we celebrate a celebrity birthday for National Whatever Day?
Sure.
I'm going to pick on March 22nd. Matthew Modine is turning 65.
Ah, that's a guy that's had an interesting career.
He's been all over the place in his career.
And, like, he was never the biggest star in the world, but he's just very quietly done a lot.
Yeah, very interesting, the characters he winds up playing. Like, probably the big one that everyone knows most recently is being Dr. Martin Brenner in Stranger Things.
Yes, absolutely. And that was, I like how they pulled in some 80s people for Stranger Things, a very 80s themed show, including Matthew Modine was kind of the main villain of season one and subsequent seasons as well.
I was surprised to realize that the same guy who's playing Dr. Martin Brenner in Stranger Things was also the guy who played Sullivan Groff in an all-time favorite TV show of mine, Weeds.
Okay, I never saw it.
He's not a mustache-twirling villain in Weeds, but he is. He's a troublemaker, for sure.
I think where he really stood out for me was Full Metal Jacket.
Right.
The Kubrick Vietnam movie, a very weird movie. He was the star, essentially. Private Joker, I believe, was his name. And a very creepy, disturbing movie. Probably not a quick... You haven't seen that, have you?
No, sir.
No. You stay away from Full Metal Jacket, but he was very good. Everybody was very good in it. Yeah. But yeah, not for you.
More recently, he was in Oppenheimer.
Okay, I didn't see that. I didn't know he was in that.
I didn't see it, but I heard all about it because of the Oscars.
So. Okay, did you watch the Oscars?
Some of it, yeah.
Oh, wow. I haven't seen the Oscars in decades.
Well, this time around, the Oscars had Ryan Gosling performing I'm Just Ken from the Barbie movie, and Slash was on the stage with him. So
yeah, I think I heard that happened. I didn't see it.
It was, you know, Kevin, you can just watch that part, right? You can go on YouTube or whatever and just, like, not lose a whole night to the Oscars, but just watch that performance. It's so good.
Yeah, but you know how busy I am.
I do know you're busy, but...
I've been watching My Three Sons reruns, so, you know, I'm on a very, very tight schedule.
We have to give a few more 1980s props to Matthew Modine.
Yeah, well, I can think of one more.
Okay, what's yours?
And that's Private School with your girl Phoebe Cates.
Yeah!
That's just a ridiculous, you know, 80s teen sex comedy. And yeah, he was one of the stars, just one of the creepy dudes trying to hook up with the girls at private school.
I caught that very early in his television career, he was in an episode of the ABC After School Special.
Okay.
It's not a bad place to start, but also he was in Madonna's music video for Crazy for You.
Oh, that's weird. I didn't know that.
Yeah. That by itself would be weird. More recently in 2020, he was in a Jonas Brothers music video. I mean, talk about range.
He'll just show up and do whatever you want.
Which is why it is appropriate to celebrate him for whatever day. So happy birthday, Matthew Modine.
I did hear him interviewed on Gilbert Gottfried's podcast, a few years ago. And yeah, seemed like a very cool guy, very funny. And he was sharing stories with Gilbert. Gilbert and Matthew Modine had both worked with monkeys in various movie projects, and he had some disturbing stories about working with a monkey. If you want to hear Matthew Modine talking about monkeys, look it up on Gilbert's show. Meanwhile, happy birthday, Matthew Modine, sure.
He also has a play called Matthew Modine Saves the Alpacas. I kid you not.
Oh, well, now he's gone too far. We'd better just move on.
So what's going on?
Well, the only thing of note that I've done recently is I went to a convention, which we don't do as much of as we used to these days. But I popped in very quickly this past weekend at Northeast Comic Con, which I know you and I have been to together once or twice. Just a goofy local nerd convention. Northeast Comic Con, for the last few years, it's been at a hotel in Boxborough, Massachusetts.
Which just sounds like a made-up place, but I know it's there. I've driven through it.
There's a town called Boxborough. I don't know anything about Boxborough. It's right off Route 495, a highway which we once dedicated a whole episode of the Flopcast to. And there's Boxborough, and that's where they do Northeast Comic Con. I was there for 2-3 hours, maybe. I got in, I got out very quickly.
So was it just the kind of experience where you're able to catch up with all the people you wanted to see in pretty short order?
Yeah, I just wanted to pop in, see a few people, and get out of there. And that's exactly what I did. Rubber Chicken Comics was set up there in the big dealer room. So I saw the guys from Rubber Chicken, of course. And also in the big vendor hall area, I ran into a dear friend of ours. I found Panda.
Oh, cool. She's the best.
Longtime friend of the Flopcast, old friend of mine. Yeah, we love Panda. She's been on the Flopcast once or twice. She was helping a friend who had a vendor booth. It's actually a friend that you have met, because for some reason I have a strong memory of you were with me, at Boston Comic Con, and we were talking to Panda and some other friends, and this guy Morgan was there that day. I'm pretty sure you met Morgan.
Yes.
Who I have not seen in years. He was, if I recall, the day you met Morgan, he was dressed as She-Hulk.
Yes.
Does that sound familiar?
Yes, and it was amazing. I was so impressed.
Morgan was not in the She-Hulk costume this weekend, but Morgan has a little business going in the nerd world now. They were selling dice.
Ooh, shiny.
Because you know nerds need dice.
Like you wouldn't believe.
So yeah, I got to see his whole setup selling dice. Let's give a plug to Morgan. It's called the Cursed Dice Company. So look that up, kids.
I definitely will. Because did I tell you that we now incorporate dice into our holiday celebrations at Christmas?
I didn't know that. How does that work?
We get a 20-sided die.
Yeah.
And we write down 20 different activities that you might want to do on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
And rather than having an organized day where one thing happens after another, we roll for whatever's going to happen next. So basically, it's like a roller panel Christmas.
Yeah.
And so we're going to need some new dice for this year. So
now, do you have a few terrible things on the D20 that nobody wants to do?
Yeah.
Just to throw an element of danger into it?
We sure do.
Oh, good. Because otherwise, you know, where's the fun in just having a pleasant holiday?
Yeah, it's not all things that you're going to like. But it's all festive.
Somebody's got to be miserable. Well, if you're looking for dice, yeah, Morgan's got them. Everybody, look up the Cursed Dice Company. I was very impressed by his setup. Nice to see them. I think I hadn't seen Panda in a while. Almost a year, I guess. I had brunch with Panda last year. So there they were anyway. I ran screaming from the dealer's hall. They don't like me in the dealer's hall, you know, at conventions, because I don't buy anything.
Right, so you don't get to stick around.
I'm a dealer's worst nightmare, because, yeah, you know me. I'm looking to leave these conventions with less than I arrived with. So I got out of there and went out to the weird central courtyard area where they had a stage set up, because I went to see our buddy Ken Reed from TV Guidance Counselor.
How's he doing?
Ken was there running the celebrity Q&A talks on stage all day. And I got there just in time to see Ken interviewing someone. I was very excited to learn that she was going to be at Northeast Comic Con. Cornflake, check this out. Ken got to talk with Go-Go's drummer Gina Schock.
Ooh, you timed that well to arrive just in time for that interview.
That wasn't very much intentional. I did not want to miss, because, yeah, you know, we love the Go-Go's. We love Gina Shock. So I'm waiting for Ken and Gina to get started. And there's, you know, a couple of chairs set up on the stage. And then suddenly this dude came out and added a third chair.
The plot thickens.
So I didn't know what that was about. Ken comes out, Gina comes out, and then Ken says, everybody, we have a surprise guest. Please welcome Greg Hawks from the Cars.
Oh, cool.
So now, you know.
Now it's a party.
What are we doing? Yeah. There's, you know, I love the Go-Go's. I love the Cars. There. Now we have one of each on stage with our buddy Ken.
So now we have Go-Cars.
What a special event this turned into. I'm still not sure what Greg Hawks was even doing there.
He's just being cool. That's all he has to do is show up and be cool, and it's fun.
But nobody was complaining that Greg showed up. So yeah, it turned into like a combo interview, talking to Greg and Gina. Gina, I love hearing Gina talk, and you know, I've seen her in the Go-Go's documentaries and stuff. Because the Go-Go's were a Los Angeles band, of course. You know, they came out of the LA punk scene, and they were very young. But it's easy to forget that Gina is from Baltimore.
Oh,
she was a transplant from the Baltimore music scene out to LA to join the Go-Go's. And as soon as Gina starts talking, it's, oh yeah, she's from Baltimore. she never lost her Baltimore accent. And she's very cool, very funny. And once they got going, and Gina and Greg were friends. They knew each other casually, at least. And then Gina asked Greg, where are you from? Are you from Boston originally? And Greg said, actually, I'm from Maryland.
The surprise reveal.
Gina just fell apart.
What a great surprise.
That was very funny. So Ken did a great job keeping a fun conversation going with both Gina and unscheduled Greg. It was great. He opened it up to audience Q&A, and there were not a lot of takers to come up to the audience mic. And I was sitting right next to the audience mic, so I did get up and ask a question, sort of. I kind of babbled like an idiot.
Nobody who gets up to the mic with that Q&A session stuff babbles like an idiot. Come on now.
I'm pretty sure I just babbled like a complete idiot. I don't know if Ken's going to release this as a TV Guidance Counselor episode.
He's only going to release the part where you babbled like an idiot.
He's either going to edit me out completely or only play the part with me babbling like an idiot. We'll see. I know earlier that day he was interviewing Bai Ling, who's an actress. I don't know too much about her. I've seen her. I know the name. I know she's been in a bunch of movies and stuff. She was in The Crow, I think, the original Crow movie.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah. She seemed very cool. She seemed too cool to be in the state of Massachusetts. I assume she's long since left town. I was wandering around a little bit after seeing Gina Shock and Greg Hawks, and I bumped into another friend of ours, another friend of the Flopcast.
Oh, who'd you see?
Eric Green, director of Life on the V.
Oh, yeah.
The documentary about V66.
Nice.
Yeah, Eric was there. So, you know, got to hang out with Eric for a few minutes and catch up. Yeah, he's still out there, you know, promoting V66 and promoting the movie. He's done other stuff since then. He's done some other film projects and things because Life on the V, that came out like 10 years ago, I think, or almost 10 years ago.
That's so crazy.
Yeah, but it's still out there. People are still discovering it. And if you like 80s music videos, as we do. Some of them star Matthew Modine, evidently. V66 must have been playing Madonna Crazy for You, so I'm sure Mr. Modine did appear on V66.
Yeah, it's just the right time for that.
Boston's old music video channel back in the mid-80s. Anyway, I was chatting with Eric, and Eric is very much aware of how supportive we have been here on the Flopcast over the years of his V66 movie.
I should hope so, because we talk about that documentary a lot.
He knows our schedule, that like every Flopcast episode, like we talked about it on episode 566 most recently, you know, and then we did episode 466. And so every episode 66 that we hit, we make it about V66. And I realized it's going to be like another year before we hit, it's going to be Flopcast episode 666 next. So that'll be a fun show.
It sure will.
But I think maybe we'll try to get Eric on the show before that, because it'd be nice to talk to Eric again. He was on the Flopcast a long, long, long time ago.
Yeah.
But I feel like I don't want to wait a year.
Why wait?
To do that.
He's cool right now.
You know it. So yeah, hopefully we'll get Eric on before too long. That'd be fun. I headed back out to the central courtyard stage area again, because Ken was still up there. He had one more interview to do. And this is a weird one too, but the cast of Growing Pains was there.
What?
Not all of them.
What? Not all of them? That's what I figured.
Yeah. You don't want all of them there.
That's right.
These were people that you'd want to see. They had three cast members from Growing Pains there. Two people from the main cast, and then one person who had a shorter recurring role on it. Now, did you watch Growing Pains?
I did.
You did? Yeah, you know, me too. I'm not sure why.
It was well-made TV for its time.
Yeah, I mean, it lasted 7 years. I know I did not watch 7 years worth of Growing Pains. They had Tracy Gold was here. Tracy was Carol Seaver, the daughter.
Right.
She was cool. What always comes to mind for me when I think of Tracy Gold is Freeze Pop, you know, our local favorite Boston synth pop band, because they have a song called Tracy Gold.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
It's kind of a song about like an obsessed Tracy Gold fan. I kind of wonder if she's aware of the Freeze Pop song. I don't know. And then if she is, like, does she hate it? Is she cool with it? Has she just never heard of it? I don't know. I was afraid to ask. So I did not get on the mic during the Growing Pains Q&A. So it remains a mystery, but it was nice to see her there. I've seen a lot of her sister lately because the mayor and I have been watching Benson. We're still watching reruns of Benson with Robert Guillaume. And that was Tracy's sister, Missy Gold, was the governor's daughter on Benson. But there was Tracy, and also Tracy's younger brother was there. Ben Seaver was played by Jeremy Miller, and Jeremy was also here at Northeast Comic Con.
Sweet.
Yeah, seems like a good guy. He's all grown up.
It's weird, because I remember him as a kid.
I don't think I'd seen him since the 80s. But yeah, Jeremy was there, spoke very well. And Jeremy was wearing a shirt with a picture of Linus on it from Peanuts. And it said, Linus Van Pelt for president. And when I saw his shirt, I remembered Jeremy for a time was the voice of Linus.
Oh, neat.
He did a bunch of the Charlie Brown cartoons as Linus, yeah. So we had two of the Seaver kids there. And again, it's the two that you want. Right. And also Julie McCullough was there. And I'd seen Julie interviewed by Ken, actually, a few years ago at a different show. So they go back a ways. Julie played the girlfriend of the older brother on Growing Pains for a time. She wasn't there for long, did a few episodes. And she was also a Playboy model at the time. And evidently, this led to her being removed from the show.
Ooh.
Because of a certain idiot in the cast who didn't like that. But she's very funny as well. You know, again, I've seen her speak a couple of times now, so it was nice to see Julie there. Julie is cool with her Playboy modeling past, evidently, because she was wearing, at Northeast Comic Con, bunny ears.
Love that.
Sure. Why not? Now, Ken, our buddy Ken from Guidance Counselor, I happen to know he's a huge Growing Pains fan. So I also know this was a special treat for Ken. So we all had a lovely time at the Growing Pains Q&A.
Very nice.
If only Joanna Kearns could have been there. And Leo DiCaprio, where was he?
One must wonder.
Leonardo DiCaprio was a late addition to the Growing Pains cast as well.
But not an insignificant one.
You'd think they would have, scheduled him to appear at Northeast Comic Con. I wonder why he was missing.
Mm.
Anyway, I was about done at that point.
What more do you want?
Exactly. I'd seen everybody that I came there to see, and I never actually spoke to Ken inside the convention. I only saw him on stage with the celebrities. However, as I was walking out of the place in the outer lobby, then I ran into Ken. It actually took me a long time to leave, because Ken and I just got to yakking about whatever And we made a very slow exit from Northeast Comic Con, just chattering about a series of nerdy things, you know. And just as we want to get Eric Green here on the Flopcast before too long, we've really got to get Ken on the Flopcast.
Yeah. We've talked about him enough.
For the last several years, every time I run into Ken, it's, oh yeah, we got to get you on the Flopcast sometime. And then we never actually set it up. So it's got to happen this year. This is getting ridiculous. So my promise to you and to the Flopcast listeners is let's get Ken on the show, because that'd be fun. Anyway, that's what I did this week. Cornflake, I went to see the weird people at Northeast Comic Con very quickly.
Well, you had some fun, and that's awesome.
Yeah.
I've got some fun coming up.
What's coming up?
I'm going to go see Moon Hooch for like the first time in 10 years.
That's that crazy saxophone band that we discovered many years ago together.
Opening for They Might Be Giants and then joining them on stage for some of the songs that include brass. Yeah, I've been a fan all this time, and I've been meaning to get out to one of their shows. They're coming to town, so I am going to enjoy me some saxophone.
Very good. Yeah, I liked them. I enjoyed that show, but you really got into Moon Hooch.
Big time.
Just immediately became a super fan. So yeah, all right. I look forward to hearing how the Moon Hooch show goes.
There may also be a little more saxophone for me later this year, because rumor has it Kenny G is coming to town, and I may not be able to keep myself away.
This will be the year that you go see every saxophone player.
What's wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing at all. I've got one more silly little thing for you real quick. I have a plug for a new podcast.
Oh.
You might actually like this podcast.
Okay.
I'm going to aim this recommendation directly at you, because you're into Star Trek.
You know it.
Yeah. You're more of a Star Trek fan than me these days, because I haven't really seen any Star Trek in a long time. But you've seen more of the Picard and all the various cartoons. And there's been like 11 new Star Trek series in the last 6 years. And I haven't seen any of them, but I know that you have. Anyway, a new podcast was just started by some friends of mine, old friends of mine. This is my friend Maria and Jamie and Bill. Early in the pandemic, Maria would host weekly Zoom sessions, and a bunch of us would just get on Zoom and goof around and hang out Friday nights. And this podcast kind of grew out of Maria's Zoom sessions, I think, in that the subject of Enterprise came up. The Scott Bakula Star Trek series Enterprise, which came out like 20 years ago. And that was like the prequel series.
Yeah.
So the premise is that Maria and Jamie and Bill, none of them have ever really watched a lot of Enterprise. And so now they've started this podcast where each week one of them will watch an episode of Enterprise and then try to describe it to the other two.
Interesting.
That's their concept. The name of the show is Enterprise Splaining. And it just started today. It literally came out today as we're recording. So I just heard the first episode a few hours ago on my way to pick up my pizza pie for Pie Day.
Very nice.
It's very silly. It's very funny. They're very cool people, old friends of mine. So I recommend check out Enterprise Splaining. I think you'd like this one.
Sounds like it is right up my alley.
You know, we have a Star Trek show right here on the ESO network as well, Earth Station Trek.
That's right.
And I don't hear a lot of Earth Station Trek, again, because I'm not a big Trek guy. But I know it's a very good show, because the hosts of Earth Station Trek also host Monkeying Around, our monkeys program here on ESO. And they're great. So listen to Earth Station Trek, and also listen to the new show, Enterprise Splaining. We got you covered. All your Star Trek listening needs. There you go. Cornflake, we promised to keep this one short, so let's say we're done. Get us out of here.
I can do that. Between shows, we would love it if you visited us on the internet at flopcast.net. You'll also find us at facebook.com/flopcast and on Mastodon. That's universodon.com/@flopcast. And we're on Instagram too, the_flopcast. And wouldn't it be great if you went on over to Apple Podcasts and left us a rating and or a review? We'd love that. Music for the Flopcast is written and performed by the Sponge Awareness Foundation.
In retrospect, I regret desperately begging Greg Hawks and Gina Schock to join Sponge Awareness Foundation in a bizarre, twisted supergroup. I don't think that's going to happen. Cornflake, thanks for joining me for this quick little getting caught up sort of a flopcast. And everybody, thanks for listening as well. And of course, remember to be safe, be kind, be silly. And we'll see you next week.
Peace and cookies.
Tune in to the Dragon Con Report podcast, your ultimate destination for all things Dragon Con.
Join us each month as we dive into our home away from home and cover the world of con fandom, cosplay, gaming, and more.
With guests each show, behind-the-scenes insights, tips and tricks, and the latest updates on this year's convention.
Whether you're a seasoned attendee or a first-time explorer,
the Dragon Con Report is your passport to the ultimate geek experience.
Join us and let your inner dragon roar.
Okay, Cornflake, this is the secret after show. What's going on?
Well, here we are, and we were talking about the Rock Hall recently and all the nominees for this year.
Oh, in fact, the latest episode of ESO Bored Silly, which is a show that we do for just the ESO Network Patreon supporters, was all about Rock and Roll Hall of Fame this month. But I digress.
I think that's a pretty good digression. So we're talking about the Rock Hall recently and who was nominated. And we discussed Eric B. and Rakim as one of the acts. And I was familiar with them, but I was trying to figure out where I had heard them recently.
You're way more familiar with them than I am.
Well, you may actually be familiar with them and not realize it, because you know how you're rewatching Benson right now?
Sure do.
Well, I am rewatching Ted Lasso right now.
Yep.
And it turns out that one of their songs was featured in the show fairly early on. I think it was season one, Follow the Leader. So Eric B. and Rakim were part of the Ted Lasso soundtrack.
Okay, well, I definitely heard them on Ted Lasso then. I just didn't know what I was listening to.
There you go. Just a little fun tidbit trivia for the secret after show.
Usually I'm just listening to Benson.
It's a solid choice.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping for the TeePublic store, which can all be found at esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.